Welcome into Wrestling with Ideas. I am Zach McGibbon. Alongside me is Alec Miske. We have on the line a very, very special guest. He is the innovator of the DDT. He is one of the best, I'd say, to ever do the dark promo. And he is WWE Hall of Famer. We have on the line Jake the Snake Roberts. How are you doing today, Jake?
Doing great, man. How about you guys?
I'm feeling fantastic. We're glad to have you on here for Wrestling with Ideas.
No problem, man. I've been looking forward to it. So let's do something crazy.
All right. I can't wait to get things started. And so I just want to get one quick question out of the way. With the recent announcement of Bret Hart having prostate cancer, have you been in any contact with Bret Hart recently?
No, I haven't. You know, I did put a word out there for him. You know, I understand that his older brother also has cancer. So he's certainly facing some tough times. But, you know, I believe in Bret. I believe that, you know, that he can fight through this thing. You know, it's about making a decision to fight. You know, cancer's not a game. I went through my little stint with it, and you know, you just gotta face it, man, and then get in there and start swinging. And that's the only way to do it. And of course, it helps if you have the right oncologist to work with. But I'm sure he's gonna get proper care. And looking forward to hearing him say he's got the all clear.
Yeah, me too. And is if there's any advice you could give to Bret Hart as he tries to battle through prostate cancer, what would it be?
Oh, yeah. Stay positive, man. Stay positive, you know, because it does get scary, man. You know, sometimes you'll be alone, you'll start thinking, and the old mind will take you someplace you don't really need to be, you know. And if the world was run by what ifs, we'd all be in a lot of trouble, you know. And you just can't be negative, and you just got to keep swinging, like I said. You'll do fine, man. There's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to go into your early WWF career, if that's all right. And just one question here. First, how did the Jake the Snake Roberts name come up? Or was there any influence into the name?
Well, I always had that name, you know. I came up with that character myself. And Jake the Snake Roberts was around long before he entered the WWF at the time. And, you know, carrying a snake was something I'd always wanted to do, but I'd never been allowed to. Most promoters, one comes to mind, Bill Watts, said, you know, this isn't a damn circus. You know, what the hell you think you're doing? Well, I guess it is a circus now, isn't it?
Yeah, that absolutely sounds like Bill Watt. Just another thing. It's noted that you actually did not win any titles in the WWF. Were there any storylines at all while you were there to win any sort of title, like the Intercontinental title or even a tag team title?
I have no idea. You know, titles are not something that you need. If you don't have to have them, you better do without them. You know, some guys need it. You know, if you think about the reason for titles, it's pretty simple. They're trying to make a star out of somebody. Well, I've been a star long before I ever got to WWF, and you know, I didn't need a title around my waist to raise me to that level. And there were some people that needed titles. You know, that's just the way it is. So for me to carry one around, are you serious? I've got a damn 100-pound snake. I got all my wrestling gear. Do I really want to carry a title too? I don't think so.
Yeah, that certainly makes sense. I mean, it must be hard to having to carry a snake onto the plane, and while also having to carry.
Oh, it was a pain in the butt, man. You have no idea what it was dealing with that. You know, night in and night out. You know, and taking it to the hotel rooms, getting up to use the restroom 3 o'clock in the morning. You got to worry about the damn snake being in the bathroom, and what are you going to do? You know.
Yeah, it's absolutely.
Not, you know. People have no idea what I suffered with, man. And, you know, that was just part of the character, you know. I guess if I'd been smart, I'd been Billy the Bug instead of Jake the Snake, you know, because the bug would have been much simpler to carry around and wouldn't have been nearly as invasive and wouldn't have caused me the problems that snake did. Because he certainly made my nights an adventure. You know, like I said, you got to use your restroom, but the snake's in there. So, okay, what are you going to do here? You know, you trust him. I mean, you got your family jewels out there in front of him, you know, and or maybe you got to sit down to relieve yourself, and this night's wrapped around the toilet. Okay, well, that's going to make this more fun. You know, it's not a bed of roses, man, and, you know, that's not to mention, what if you got a girl with you? She's not going to go in that bathroom with a damn snake in there. She's going to make you move the snake. Well, that kind of interrupts the whole flow of things, probably. But, you know, the snake was a great thing, man. Part of the character, part of the mystery, part of the fear. And I used it, and I worked hard with it, but it was certainly a liability, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of the snake, I want to go into one of your feuds, which is one of my personal favorite feuds, your feud with Macho Man Randy Savage. And one of the most memorable moments has to be when Savage was bitten by the King Cobra. Was that all planned? Like, was the snakes really supposed to bite?
Yeah, it was planned. And, you know, what people don't know is that Randy made the snake bite me first in the back before he would allow it to bite him on stage. He was concerned that maybe it wasn't devenomized and there might be poison going through that snake and that I might be lighting him up trying to take his title from him, which I thought it was just, you know, are you insane? Randy was insane, but are you crazy, man? He's like, well, if there's not a problem, man, why don't you let it bite you first? Yeah, that's a good idea. So I had to get the cobra out and let it latch onto my leg for, you know, a bit. And then once the snake released, I had to sit there and make sure I didn't take no anti-serum or what have you to satisfy Randy's curiosity. So once we did that, then he was all about going out there and doing it. But that's definitely one of my favorite moments of my career, when that snake sunk his fangs into a nice fang. So the cobras don't have fangs, they have teeth. But when he was chewing on Randy's arm, that was certainly a high for me and certainly something that I revisit quite often.
Hi, Jake. I'm just wondering, like, how hard was it to work with snakes in the ring and in promos?
Well, it was a pain in the butt, man, especially doing promos. Because they were always, I'll get the snake out. You know, it's hard enough to do a great promo anyway. But to have a 15-foot snake tugging on you and pulling on you and pushing on you and trying to bite you or defecating on you or pissing on you, you know, it's kind of distracting, you know. And not to mention that it'll wear you out. Those things just don't lay up on your shoulders and, you know, take care of you. You know, they're trying to get away from you or get on you or wrap on you. Once they wrap on you, they start squeezing. Look out. You can get in trouble there. No, it was a pain in the butt, man. So very seldom that I do interviews with the snake out. But it really was hard to stay focused and to stay on point. And I always valued the interview time and always respected the time that was used and always tried to make the most of it. So very seldom did you see me with the snake out. I just I didn't agree to it.
And we mentioned earlier about Macho Man Randy Savage. What was it like working with the Macho Man?
Well, it was never boring, I'll tell you that. Randy was a different character. He was wound pretty tight. We had some problems in the ring because, you know, after I slapped Elizabeth and all that, you know, he had not told her family about the business side of wrestling. So they were taking everything and going to the bank with it, as that's in stone, which we all know that there's a business side to wrestling and that these aren't what they seem to be, but Randy and not telling them, they were making a lot of demands on Randy to do something about me, which sort of, short of being killed, would not have been enough for them. They thought that I should have been killed for ever touching Elizabeth, and I'm sure there are a lot of fans that felt that way, but are we really going to take it that far? So Randy was pretty angry at times when he'd get in the ring because he'd be given a hard time on the phone by the family or maybe even by Elizabeth. I don't know for sure. But he would come out there with an extra gear about his work. And I would just have to hang on to him and let him slow down, let him get tired. Then once he got tired, we'd go back to doing some business. But I enjoyed wrestling Randy. I enjoyed doing the promos with Randy because he's so funny. To me, he was funny. But his interviews were lacking in a lot of ways. He was pretty, I don't know, man. He was just a little slow. You know? I love the guy to death, man, but I could chew him up on interviews any night and day, you know, with my eyes closed. But being in the ring with him and competing with him was a treat. And we both did very well anytime we got in the ring together, whether it be Saturday night's main event or Tuesday in Texas or wherever we did it. So it was a plus. And one of the greatest compliments I ever had was from Randy's father, Angelo Poffo, who came to me and, after the match on NBC. So that's the greatest match Randy ever had. I just appreciate you taking him through it, Jake. And so that was quite a compliment, you know. It really was.
Just to touch on your promo work, to me, you're one of the people that really revolutionized how promos were done. And I'm just wondering, how much control did you have over the content and direction of them?
Complete. Nobody got in my way. You know, it's pretty funny. Back in the day, we were having to do 60, 70 promos anytime TV was there. And that's a lot of promos, man, when you're talking a minute and a half to 3 minutes each. This is back in the day when they were doing promos for each town individually. And if you were there, you had to do a set of nine. So that's a lot of promos. And a lot of guys had a hard time with it. Me, I made a game out of it. You know, I just did silly stuff. You know, I'd challenge the TV guys to, hey, give me a word and I'll make a promo out of it, whether it be spaghetti. Well, I'm the meatballs, you're spaghetti, or whatever. Just rattle stuff off. A lot of guys were challenged by that. But to me, it was just a game. You know, there's some guys that would do one promo and it would take them 45 minutes to get one promo out. Well, that's not good if you got 50 or 60 of them to do. You know, and my nickname to the TV guys was One Take Jake. They said, you can go right through 50 or 60 interviews and never have to redo one. How is that? Well, nobody knows that you're making a mistake except for you. So roll with what you got, you know, and just, you know, some guys try to memorize stuff, do a promo. The second you start trying to memorize everything, man, you've lost. You've truly lost because you're not going to get the character involved in it. You're not going to get the meaning behind it in it. You're just going to be reciting words. And we all know that when you put athletes out there and you expect them to recite 25, 30 words, you know, you're going to have problems. But One Take Jake was out there to have fun, and I certainly enjoyed it, and I always tried to get my point across. So I think I was pretty successful for the most part.
And, yeah, very interesting story there. And I want to skip ahead just a little bit over to King of the Ring 1996. That was when you faced Steve Austin in the final, and he had that very famous promo, the Austin 316 promo. Were you aware of the contents of the promo? Like, did you know that kind of promo was going to happen?
Yeah. I think they really missed the boat, though. You know, whenever Steve hit me with that, I was like, cool, man, let's go with it, you know, because it was a good thing. You know, help put him on the mat, and it certainly was a knock on my religious beliefs at all. In fact, it brought it to the forefront. You know, I always felt they missed the boat because after Austin 316, they should have came out with Austin's Ten Commandments. You know, number one being, thou shalt not kill unless thou art pissed. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife unless she's really hot. Thou shalt honor thy mother and father unless they're You know, we could have made a whole lot of money with t-shirts like that.
That's a great story, and I want to skip ahead a little more over into 2006, and you actually did some work with TNA, helping out with the Hardcore Battle Royal with the Abyss and all that. And what was it like working in TNA at the time?
Minor league. You know, it would, I didn't really have a very good time at all. It basically was for the cash involved. It was a step down, a step backwards, whatever you want to call it. It is what it is. TNA will never be at the level WWE is. You know, it's a joke to really say them in the same sentence as far as I'm concerned. It's a shame because competition is great for business. And I think that if we look back in the history books, when Turner and those guys were giving WWE a hard time back in, I forgot what years they were, but that forces everybody to lift their game a bit, you know, and it forces the athletes to lift their game a bit, and it gives different people the opportunity just to get out there because, they're, you know, when you're down, you're looking for the answer. That's certainly how Steve Austin got his break. I know when I was there and Austin came in as the ringmaster, whatever. What a joke that was, you know, and having somebody else talk to him and DiBiase, that was a complete waste. And, you know, Vince McMahon's look on Steve Austin at the time was, well, he'll be a good second or third match. And I, at the time, was helping write television. I said, Vince, you're wrong. That guy's going to be your next superstar. And he's like, there's no way in hell. Well, that's when we did the King of the Ring thing and lifted him up a little bit here, a little bit there. Back then, Steve was confiding in me several times weekly, and I would help him with his matches and help him with his interviews, and certainly glad I did it. Steve Austin was one of those guys that, you know, it took him a little bit longer to get established, but once he became established, he was solid as a rock. And there's a lot of guys that go through their careers and never get that opportunity like Steve did. And I'd like to think that I was a big part of him getting that opportunity and him making good on it. I know I helped raise him to another level. That's the reason I went out there and did what I did. And I would gladly do it again because I think if you look at that era when Austin was a you know, on top and making things happen. It was certainly a good time for the WWE and a great time for the fans.
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, just going back to that New Generation era, what was it like working with top guys like Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels?
A real pain in the ass. You know, writing television with those guys involved, it was ridiculous. I think my statement to Vince was, you're letting the inmates run the asylum. It was ridiculous. It really was. And both those guys ought to be ashamed of the way they behaved and acted. That's what happens. Sometimes you give some people rope and they'll hang themselves. Well, those two damn guys should have hung themselves because just the way they carried on with each other and the way they handled their business was really piss poor. And, you know, those weren't great times at the box office either. Well, remember, you know, some of the worst, the leanest years were while those guys were in that big spot. And, you know, I love Bret to death. And Sean and I spent a lot of time together. I had a little bit to do with Sean's character getting over. I was the guy that came up with the idea of, ladies and gentlemen, Sean has left the building, which used to really piss the people off, you know, to stop a match or whatever and then make that announcement like it was some big deal. It was quite funny, but, you know, you got to get in people's head, and that's what I was trying to do, and I did it. But, yeah, those guys worked their butts off. There's no doubt about that. But really, to behave like two school children on a playground, and as far as dropping titles and all that. Really? Come on, man. Give me a break.
We've heard that big heat between Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels. It took a long time to get it resolved.
Yeah. I mean, it was ridiculous when you got writers sitting around a table waiting to write something and you're having to get their permission to write. Are you serious? You know, if it'd been me, I'd have fired both of them, son of a bitch, and let it go at that.
We'll move over to modern-day WWE then. If you were ever offered a position as a trainer in NXT for promos or anything like that, would you ever consider it?
Certainly. Certainly I would consider it. Whether I'd do it or not, that's another thing. I'm 60 years old, man, and I'm pretty set in my ways and what I believe and how I believe things should be done. And Vince, on the other hand, has got his idea of the way things should be done. Triple H has got his idea of the way things should be done. And when you put us all on a big hat, mine don't matter much because I don't own the company. So I don't know if it would work. I would certainly voice my opinion, and my opinion might get me in trouble. Having said that, if I had the opportunity, I would love to do something with Bray Wyatt. I think I'm just the automatic fit for him. And I have talked to Bray about doing something, and we would love to do something. Whether it happens, I don't think it will. But that's all right. I did challenge him this last year to a strippers pole match, and I think that would have been very interesting at WrestleMania.
That would have been a very entertaining match to watch, certainly indeed. And you mentioned a couple of years ago that when you were going through your recovery with DDP, that you wanted to wrestle in the Royal Rumble. Is that still a goal for you at this point?
Yeah, I would like to try next year. This year, of course, is gone, but I couldn't have done it this year anyway because I was just getting over the hip replacement. But the hip is coming along fine, and I'm getting myself back into the shape that I want to be. I think next year would be the year. I'm going to give it a full shot of let's go, let's try it, and be in the best shape of my life of this next year's Royal Rumble. And, you know, if it happens, it happens. If it don't, it don't. But gosh, it sure would be good one last time. I just don't know if the world's ready for it. But if they're not ready for that, how in the hell can the people in Ottawa be ready for me at Yuck Yucks, huh? Well, I tell you, I was in Ottawa before, and I really enjoyed myself while I was there. I'm going to get a chance to go out and look at some of the country around and check out some of the architecture there in town, too. But I am looking forward to performing at Yuck Yucks again. Expect full houses both nights, and so you better grab your tickets as soon as you can.
Yeah, absolutely. It's certainly a can't-miss event, and just one last quick thing before we let you off.
Yep.
Would you be willing to do a promo for Wrestling With Ideas?
Sure.
Sweets. Go on ahead.
You guys ready?
Yepers.
This is Jake the Snake Roberts. You know what you're listening to, don't you? Yeah, Wrestling With Ideas. Here's one idea for sure, though. You don't believe with snakes. If you do, you get bit.
Absolutely awesome. Thanks so much for taking the time out of your day to do an interview with us. Again, you're going to be at Yuck Yucks February 23rd and 24th, and you have a documentary out. Is that correct?
Sure. Yeah, documentary is out and doing real well. It's called The Resurrection of Jake the Snake Roberts, and within the next 3 months, my book will be out. So look out, folks. Just when you thought it was safe to go out at night, Jake's still there.
Awesome, man. We'll let you go. Thanks again for doing this interview with us.
All right. Take care.